Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Rhett Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels. This is
Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am doing it right after the Sunday night game. I am super hyped. My adrenaline's pumping. If you don't know what happened because you're watching this at another time or you're listening to it maybe tomorrow on Monday, we'll get to the Sunday night game. All these games have been really, really competitive except for the Friday night game, unfortunately, the one I went to. But the ones that the Angels have won, they've won in numerous ways and has been, as a fan, unbelievably exciting. So, like I said, we will get to Sunday night's game in a little bit, but we're going to work our way down through this first opening weekend. And obviously, opening day, a huge day for baseball fans in general. We're finally home. Angels are finally home for our opening day and for the first time, and it seems like forever, against a really good pitcher and Lucas Giolito. But Dylan Bundy took the mound that game, and, you know, it was definitely going to be a pitching duel. We always thought it was going to be like that. The White Sox get up early in the second, but then Justin Upton comes here and ties it.
A lot of these chances. This one lined into center field. Upton down for a base hit. Crowd hustling on around to the plate. We're tied.
So obviously the game's tied up there. We mentioned this before. I think Upton's going to be a really, really key part of this team, and we've mentioned it even in spring training, and he had a really good weekend. Again, we're going to get to all the highlights throughout the weekend through this podcast. So they are tied. Upton ties it in the fourth. In the fifth, Adam Eaton hits a two-run home run, that which puts up the Sox 3-1 off of Dylan Bundy. Dylan Bundy did not do bad. Dylan Bundy went six innings, gave up three runs, struck out six, 88 pitches was his pitch count when he got taken out. Now, I think that's more of a product of it being his first start in the first game. You don't want to put someone like that out there, you know, 90-something, 100-something pitches. I think the 88 pitch count was really, really good. Again, six innings, six hits, three runs, six strikeouts. Lucas Giolito also did really, really well. Five and a third, two hits, two earned runs, eight strikeouts, and his pitch count was also 87. So it turned into a bullpen game fairly quickly. And if you have seen the moves that Chicago has made this year, you know that they have a really good bullpen in the back end. And obviously the Angels are kind of, you know, a lot of uncertainty in those bullpen, a lot of good names, a lot of guys you think will do well, but just not too sure yet. So now moving into the next couple innings, Matt Stassi comes up, and if you had him to hit the first home runs of Angels of the Angel season, you definitely won your pool.
Stassi is a catcher. High fly ball center field. Robert goes back to the wall. Gone!
And that's the power for Max Stassi, entertaining us with a home run.
So again, Max Stassi with the first home run of the Angels season. You know, a lot of people probably thought it was going to be Trout. A lot of people probably thought it was going to be Rendon. A lot of people thought it was going to be Ohtani. But for Stassi to come out here, when a lot of people out there didn't think he would make the opening day roster because of his hip surgery, for him to come out on that first day and tie it, really, really, you know, lit that place on fire. And if you watched our first the pregame before the opening day at Halo Haven, we were just jumping up and down in Halo Haven, jumping up and out of our seats. Was a really cool feeling to see them work their way back to a tie like that. So now fast forward to the eighth, after Rendon strikes out, Upton walks, Albert comes up with the bases loaded, and in this situation, you're just hoping for a productive out at some point or something. I mean, it's Albert. So a lot of people were probably thinking at this time, oh, no, double play. So that would have been the worst case scenario. But this is what happened.
Albert Pujols bouncing ball, hugs the line, fielding, firing on across. Albert Pujols puts his team on top.
And so you saw Ohtani scored the go-ahead run there. So again, Albert coming up, bases loaded, hits the ball, not great, but just slow enough to where they couldn't turn two, and the only play they could do is at first. So again, like I said, Angels go up 3-4. Ninth inning comes around, and Yrael Iglesias comes in. Again, one of those new guys that has been brought in by the Angels. And he is, for the most part, the closer. And for the first time in a real game, we see him in action, and he looks absolutely awesome, devastating, just able to get these guys out. And with his stuff, was really, really nasty. And this is how the final out of the first game of the Angel season.
The last chance.
High fly ball, well struck right field. Dexter Fowler says, I've got it. The Angels are 1-0 to open up the 2021 season.
And exactly, there it is. The Angels win 3-4. Again, you heard the Angels win on opening day, which was like the first opening day win since I believe like 2000 and, or man, it had to be like almost, it was like almost like 10 years, maybe 8 years since they won on opening day. So for that to happen was really, really great. And again, it's a way to start out the season. Not only you get a opening day home opener on opening day, but also you bring it in with a victory. So that was a great game. Again, the team battled back, being down by one run and against a really good bullpen, being able to produce runs any way they can. The bullpen was great. Sliger, Myers, and Iglesias all pitched one inning, and obviously they didn't give up any runs. So that's the kind of production the Angels are going to need going forward into the season. From that back end of the bullpen. So kind of like what I mentioned earlier, all these games are super competitive except for this game, the Friday night game. Andrew Haney took the mound against Dallas Keuchel. And, you know, Andrew Haney, we talked about him a little bit on opening day. We're really hoping for big things from Andrew, not only for the Angels, but through the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. He didn't have his best stuff, which was weird, though, because – if you guys watch the game, the first two innings, it was 3-up, 3-down. Seemed like he whatever he was working on or had to fix, he seemed like he did it, but then could not get out of the third inning, or got through the third inning, got into the fourth, and then could not get a single out in the fourth inning. So that was kind of disappointing for Andrew Haney after such a great start for that game. And it just was unfortunate that he didn't go that long. He gave 5 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. And it was just, they were up early. They were up early in the first. Then they were down 7-1 after the Sox bat in the fourth. One of the really, really good things about this game, though, to take away from it was the debut of Chris Rodriguez. And obviously, if you listen to this podcast, honestly, since I've jumped on for the past 3 or 4 years, you have seen Chris's journey, if you will. We've had him on about 5 times, all the way dating back to his time in single A, dealing with the first injury, then dealing with his surgery, and then talking to him before this spring training. We've talked to him quite a bit throughout his journey. So to see him there and for me to be there to see his debut was awesome. Again, he did unbelievable. All the stuff you saw in spring training as far as the movement on his pitches and the velocity on his pitches, it was there. And, the moment for him did not seem too big. He never pitched above high A. He hasn't pitched more than I think the number was like 9 2/3 of professional innings. And that to me is absolutely crazy because he came in and he commanded the mound. He went 2 innings, gave up 2 hits, 3 strikeouts. But again, for a debut, he did absolutely great. And I think that's something that the Angel fans took away from this game. And granted, it was not what they wanted as far as the win, but you know, they did take something out of it. And again, I think that was Chris Rodriguez making his major league debut at Angel Stadium in this game. Now it's going to be interesting to see how they use him, because Madden did say that this kind of opens a whole nother Pandora's box of his movement with the bullpen. If he's coming in maybe in higher leverage situation, maybe becomes an eighth inning guy. But right now it looks like he's kind of settled into like more of a long reliever. So we'll see how that plays out. And again, with his injury past, it looks like they're going to take it easy on him, because he did pitch Saturday or Friday, two games, but that was it for this series. He didn't pitch on Saturday and he didn't pitch Sunday, and two games that had high leverage situations where you would think if he was in a normal kind of usage rate, he would have saw some kind of time. So maybe he sees time against Houston. We'll see. But the future is really, really bright for this kid. And again, for someone that has interviewed him and talked to him, not only on the podcast, but on a personal level, it was really, really great to see him make his debut and do as well as he did. But kind of like I mentioned before, the Angels kind of came back and made it close with 6-7 after five innings. And again, Chris kind of helped hold that all the way until the ninth inning. Entering the ninth, it was still 6-7, but then they gave up five runs in the ninth. Ohtani does hit his first home run first home run this season. And it was a little too little too late, but it was kind of nice to see that pop. And another kind of, I don't want to say side plot, but Liam Hendricks was pitching in this game in the eighth inning when it looked like the game was, again, a one-run game. But once he scored all those runs in the top of the ninth, I was kind of surprised to see Hendricks come back out in the bottom of the ninth. He pitched a whole ball in the ninth. They even, you know, when he gave up that home run to Ohtani, he was still in there, and he got his pitch count up quite a bit for a game that was kind of already in the bag. And I think that kind of played into the next game, and we'll get to that. But the Angels lose, obviously, 12-8 on Friday. So now fast forward to the game on Saturday night. New Angel Alex Cobb makes his debut. You've been seeing and hearing a lot of good things about him. Still not quite sure what to think of him. You know, this first outing for him was great. He went six innings, eight hits, three runs, seven strikeouts. That was great against Lance Lynn, a guy the Angels saw quite a bit last year and when he was with Texas. And I think honestly, you know, did pretty well against him last year. And so there was no real concern on my end about being able to get to him earlier and being able to put up numbers. Lance Wynn went 4 2/3, six hits, two runs, zero earned runs, but six Ks. But they were able to work that pitch count up and were able to get him out fairly quickly. Something that I've never seen before happened in the third inning, and this is how the Angels tied the game.
Six fastballs.
A mile high. And, of course, Tim Anderson will catch it. You know what? He'd catch it if it was underneath the halo, but it's called off! He should have caught it! They should have let him catch it! The halo score run! And it's bouncing around like Little League baseball! Rendon moves up to second. Oh, my!
Yeah, usually steady outfielder Roberts knocks a ball off his head, which was one of the weirdest plays that I saw. But luckily, with Fletcher moving at contact, he was able to get all the way around. They're able to tie it that way. And because of the throw home and it going over the head of the catcher, Rendon was able to get to second. And then this, because he was able to move to second, this is definitely the product of that.
Bouncing ball, base hit left field. Here comes Rendon. Vaughn is up with it. He'll hit the cutoff man. The Halos take the lead. Walsh with his first base hit and RBI of this season.
Definitely won't be the last time we hear that name on this podcast. Jared Walsh with his first hit, first RBI of the season. So again, he, because of Rendon being able to move the second with that overthrow, that base hit gets him home and the Angels are able to take the lead. The Sox in the fourth would end up taking the lead But the Angels, will start coming back. We saw a lot of great comebacks throughout this series. And this is probably one of the first comebacks. And again, this is happening against a really good bullpen in the Chicago White Sox. So here
first
is the
time. Walsh out front drives it down the line. Fair ball. into the corner it goes. Anthony Rendon is being sent on around. The relay. No relay. We're tied. A triple.
What a game for Walsh.
So again, Jared Walsh, I guarantee you, we won't finish hearing that name either. Jared Walsh with a triple that ties the game. So with that coming up, obviously the man behind him, Mr. Mike Trout, comes up with opportunity to take the lead, and this is what
Justin
happens.
Upton. J-Hump, high fly ball, left field, toward the wall, gone!
J-Hump going uptown, looking for that pitch, inner half, knowing he's going to be pitched inside, and he lifts it out of the ballpark, two-run home run, Halo's up now, 5-3.
I said Mike Trout. I meant Justin Upton. Upton again with a two-run jack, and we kind of what we mentioned in the first game. It's going to be very vital for this guy to be productive, and through this first series, he definitely has. And so the Angels end up winning this matchup, so it was great to see that happen. We end up winning the match at 5-3. Another great comeback, another great opportunity for the Angels to work their way back, because of some, again, like Chris pitching the night before, and then even Iglesias getting in the night before. Junior Gar comes in for in the eighth inning, but also finishes out in the ninth. So he's the one that gets the save and another opportunity for another bullpen arm to kind of solidify himself in that right in that spot to get in a high leverage situation. So Junior Gara comes out and shuts the door in the ninth inning and gets that save. So now we move on to Sunday. Obviously we are recording this Sunday night right after the game. This game was absolutely bonkers. It was tied, you know, Ohtani came out pretty much that next night that Ohtani was going to pitch and hit for the Angels on Sunday, and that's exactly what happened. And his first inning, great. His first inning, he's pumping the ball over 100 miles an hour. I think at one point he reached over 101 miles per hour, but he was getting it done. And when it came to his first at bat and his first pitch that he saw in the batter's box, this is what happened.
First pitch swinging.
So, yeah, you heard that, and it just sounded completely different. You hear that, and it's crazy to think that this guy just got done throwing 100 miles an hour, gets in the bullpen or gets back in the dugout, grabs his bat, grabs his helmet, and is able to do that with the first pitch of the game that he saw. So, Ohtani, exit velocity on that pitch, again, super loud, 115 miles per hour, the hardest hit ball that has been hit at Angel Stadium since the StatCast era, which I think has been in the last five or seven years. So definitely something that was a no doubter, and definitely something that that was awesome to see. And again, pitching and hitting in the same day hasn't been happened in so many years, since I think before the DH was even implicated. You can follow a lot of guys on Twitter, from Rhett Bollinger to, you know, Jeff Fletcher, Fabian Ardaia, and they were retweeting these little nuggets that were popping out throughout the day. You know, Ohtani is the first pitcher slash, you know, hitter since blah, 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 to bat in the second hole, to start the game in the second hole. It was just a bunch of little stuff like that that you realize it was a really a special day for Ohtani. Now, after that, we get a sac fly later in the game, but then here comes Fletcher to do a little more damage.
As an Angels fan, you went to the 2002 World Series parade. Throws a little party favor into right. That is vintage David Fletcher. 3-0 Angels.
And kind of like Matty V said, that is vintage Fletcher, just putting it out there in a spot where no one can get to it, producing a run, and just being able to get on base. So the new man with a new contract really is performing this season. And so that was great to get up 3-0. Ohtani walks the bases loaded. And, you know, that's the one thing about Ohtani in this outing. You can say a lot of things about him pitching, and his stuff was working really, really well, but he was very up and down. He was very inconsistent with his control. He ends up lasting four and two thirds, two hits, three runs, one earned run, but 7 strikeouts. And here's the big kicker, was 5 walks. I think that put him in a situation where he put himself into a lot of situations that didn't need to be, as far as walking guys, putting guys on base. And I think that hurt him in the long run, not only with his pitch count, but just kind of being in these high leverage situations that didn't really need to be. But he ends up loading the bases, a wild pitch, brings a guy in, and then they end up scoring. One on that wild pitch. So that's not exactly the way you want this to kind of play out. But it got even more weird later in this game, and involved Ohtani, and this is what happened.
The next 3-2.
He got him!
Stassi's got to finish with the throw to first base, and it's mishandled. Fletcher throws home. That's wide. Ohtani goes down at the plate.
So obviously a very scary moment right there with Ohtani. Strike 3, drop ball, so the batter gets to advance. Stassi seemed to be rushing the throw a little bit, gets up the line from gets away from Walsh. Luckily, Fletcher was there to back it up. So now you assuming there's a play at the plate. The ball comes in, it's high. Ohtani naturally just goes up and tries to catch it. And, obviously that didn't go well. I believe Abreu slid, kind of took Ohtani's legs out from underneath him. Wasn't purpose. You could tell that Abreu knew it was going to be a play at the plate and he had to get down because it was going to be close. Reports have come out that Ohtani got taken out right after this play, but the reports came out that he got taken out of this game because of his pitch count and kind of his workload, not because of an injury. They said it was sore from the fall, but nothing really, nothing broken, nothing sprained, nothing like that. So we'll kind of moderate it keep an eye on it for the next day or so and see what happens. He probably is going to have a day off tomorrow, I think, regardless, just because he's played every day so far, just got done pitching. There's no reason to put him out there against Houston right now. We'll kind of see how that goes, but something to definitely keep an eye on for. But unfortunately, that tied the game 3-3 for a game that seemed until that point was cruising for the Angels. The White Sox, even to the end, weren't necessarily hitting the ball really hard. A lot of their runs were off of Angels mistakes, walks, wild pitches, errors, all that stuff. So, it was kind of a frustrating game as an Angel fan because you saw the team should have had a lot bigger lead. It should have been, a 4-1 game, a 3-1 game, something like that. And now it's tied 3-3. And this man again comes up to the bat and is performing, and he might be your long-term first baseman.
Walsh with a swing and a drive and a ball that's going to go.
So obviously that's the go-ahead run. That's the run everyone thought, that's it, we're done. We're going to win this game. We're going to take 3 out of 4 from Chicago, the team that's favored to win the Central. But in reality, it didn't really happen that way. Raisel Iglesias does come in the 8th inning for a 5-out save, which to me, I've never been a huge fan of bringing in your closer for more than a 1-inning save. I don't know. I'm sure there's numbers that say that it's just as effective as a normal 3-out save, and that's fine. But it just feels like every single time I see a reliever come in for a 4 or 5 or 6-out save, it just something doesn't go right. Either they work a lot harder than they need to, or it just kind of blows up. And in this situation, he gets out of that 8th inning really smoothly. He gets out of it, I think, with like 5 pitches. So in your mind, you're kind of thinking that stuff sets up perfectly for the 9th inning. And again, it just seemed like a lot of weird plays, a lot of balls, a lot of walks, and a lot of just weird things happen all series long, not only for the Angels, but kind of like when we said with the Luis Roberts play the day before with the ball on top of the head. There was a lot of defensive, sloppiness between both teams today or the whole weekend. And it showed its head again with this play.
Back to the mound, and Iglesias airmails Rendon. And the White Sox have tied it in the ninth.
So, you have your closer out there doing great. The one thing I didn't show before this is that there was a play that he made, which should have been a really easy throw to first base. Luckily, Fletcher was covering, and it was a high, but Fletcher was able to get his foot down and get that out. I just always find it weird that pitchers who can dot the corner of a plate cannot throw to first base, or in this case, third base. You would think a guy that can throw so hard, so fast, and so accurate can, you know, slow it down a little bit and just kind of toss it over to first base and get it out. Or in this case, just toss it over to third base to get a guy in a pickle, and he's not able to. So, you know, honestly, at this point, I was feeling kind of down. I'm sure a lot of people out there were feeling kind of down. But, you know, we're just watching the Jared Walsh show and
Angel roster this year.
Oh, Walsh sends it well out to left center field. And it's gone! He went to Jared!
So, yeah, Jared Walsh went to Jared. Matt Vasgersian on that call, obviously, and we'll probably hear more of him later in the year. But the Angels win this 4-7 on a walk-off home run by Jared Walsh. Two-home run game. I mean, this guy has absolutely been killing it this series. And they kind of mentioned it a little bit in the broadcast. He had a ho-hum, spring training. But, you know, for him to show up and do what he did, you know, it's crazy. And obviously coming onto this afterwards probably wasn't the best idea just because of the fact I was still kind of super hyped about everything going on, and it's crazy and I can't get my thoughts straight. But thanks for everyone for watching and listening. But yeah, this game definitely took 20 years off my life too. But what a great series. What a great win for these guys. Again, not the cleanest series by no means for either team. Both teams had their issues. Defensively, especially bullpen, especially starters for the Angels. I mean, Andrew Heaney, you know, we'll see what happens with Shohei, but he needs to kind of tie in some things up, because if he's only going to go into the fourth inning, you know, that might end up being an issue with how the, and you saw him kind of maneuver things with double switches and stuff like that. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do going forward. You know, it was crazy watching that last home run by Jared Walsh. You know, he kind of started walking it off, and I didn't think he hit it that hard. Honestly, there was two shots that night, that one by Upton and I think another one by Walsh too, where it sounded like he got all of it and it just came up short. So for him to feel that confident and start kind of walking it off a little bit before he gets over the top, and it only cleared maybe by like 5 or 6 feet. But when you know, I guess you know. So that was awesome. Awesome to see, awesome also to watch and just be a part of. So someone asked too about no Mike Myers tonight. I think he's pitched last couple days in a row. I know he pitched Friday, and I'm pretty sure he also pitched Saturday. So I'm guessing with the 2 days pitching back to back so early in the season, they probably gave him obviously the time off. So, but I can definitely expect to see him going forward next series against the Houston Astros. So that pretty much sums up this series. Absolutely, you know, crazy series. Absolutely fun to watch. They take 3 out of 4 from Chicago. And if the Angels are going to compete at a high level, they need a win series against good teams like Chicago. Chicago is a favorite in the AL Central from a lot of people. So for them to take 3 of 4 in the way they did, producing late and just not giving up and just getting at a really good bullpen. I can't stress this enough, getting to a really, really good bullpen. You know, obviously it's the first series of the season, so you can't take too much out of the way, but it's just fun to see that kind of action and just see that kind of performance from these guys and guys that you were kind of asking questions about, Jared Walsh being one of them, Upton, Stassi, you know, all these guys contributed to this series that weren't Mike Trout, weren't Rendon. Obviously, Ohtani had 2 home runs also, but for the majority of it are these secondary guys that you need them to perform. But Jared Walsh, another past guest of the All Angels podcast, doing big things tonight, and it was just great to see him have a 2-home run game, and the second home run obviously being a walk-off and securing that win for the Angels in a series win against the Chicago White Sox. So we're going to take a quick break, and after that, we're going to talk about some news that came out and look ahead forward to the next series.
Your outdoor experience could be better.
clearly better. Canon sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. Using Japan Optics, Canon lenses are clearer, lighter, and stronger than other lenses and are nearly impossible to scratch. With frames handcrafted in Italy, Canon sunglasses elevate your experience outside with a degree of clarity beyond your wildest imagination. Use the exclusive code KANON15 at Canon.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's KANONCAST15. Canon, clearly better. It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now going to be on pro basketball and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline.ag has your betting action covered. In the NBA, the conference races are heating up as the teams prepare to make their push for the playoffs. And if baseball is your first love, like it is mine, BetOnline has you covered. If you love hockey, golf, MMA, and championship boxing, guess what? BetOnline has it all. Every sport, every game, every matchup. BetOnline has you covered for all the odds and real-time updates, and this is the place for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place and check in on all your favorite sports bets all the time. Head to the website or use your mobile device and bring home the game with BetOnline. And we are back. So some other news that happened this weekend that came out, I guess it would be called former Angels now. Former Angels, Ty Butchie put out a statement walking away from the game through his Instagram, kind of stating, I'm sure a lot of people read it, and when it was announced the day before that he did not report to the alternate site, a lot of people were talking, and you know, and obviously I think as people, myself included, I learned a lot from that Simmons situation that happened at the end of 2020 when he walked away from the Angels and opted out the last week of the season. And a lot of people were very critical of Simba back then, and then coming, you know, comes out before the season this year that he was dealing with anxiety and depression and all that kind of stuff that goes unseen to a lot of people. So when this came out with Butchie, I was one that didn't necessarily jump right away to what, you know, what are you doing? Why aren't you playing this and that? You know, I kind of wanted to slow play it and see what was going to happen. Let him put a kind of a statement out for himself. And that's exactly what he did on his Instagram. But you know, for the most part, you can go to Ty Butchie's Instagram and read the whole statement. But for the most part, it is, he kind of lays out that, you know, he lost the passion. It was never really fun for him. He did this baseball thing to prove people wrong, and because he was good at it. And, you know, people would always say, you know, you can't make it to the major leagues, and he wanted to prove them wrong. Well, that kind of motivation only lasts so long. Once he made it to the majors, and once, you know, he saw that it became more and more of a business, you can understand the fact that you kind of maybe lose what little passion you had for it or enthusiasm for it. You know, he understands that it's a great job with that you can make great money, but at the end of the day, if you're not happy doing it, or you're just kind of like having to pull yourself out of bed to do it, you know, is it the right job for you? And I think it's a lot better for him and the Angels that he does this, because the last thing you want as an Angel fan is a guy that puts on a happy face and looks like he's happy and looks like he loves being there, when in reality he might not, and it can, you know, show up in his performance. Now, obviously, he had a great beginning of 2019. I don't know, maybe if the overusage and just dealing with that kind of, you know, body aches and just tearing your body down like that had any effect to it. I don't know. But Ty Butchie is walking away from baseball, and he seems completely content. He seems completely happy with it. And for someone to walk away from an opportunity to make that much money, you know, down the line, I think that shows where his head's at. And I don't fault him. I don't think anyone should fault him at all, because like I said, it's best for him to get out now and not, you know, put the Angels in a situation where he is playing and maybe he's not into it, and now he's costing the Angels games. He knows that his heart's not into it, and it's always best to, you know, get out before you start affecting other people and the fans. So, as a guy that talked to Ty a lot when we had him on the podcast and met up with him a little bit at spring training a couple of years ago, you know, nothing but the best for him. We've had his wife, Sam, on the podcast. Nothing best for them. They moved into a home. I believe they're up in Washington, and whatever's next for them, that's great. And on Ty Buttrey's statement, he says he really looks forward to be calling to be called Ty and not Ty the baseball player. And as someone who, you know, if your whole identification is a single game, I can understand how you feel like you can be more than that as a person. And so hopefully he gets that with wherever he's going. But, you know, he was a good guy to us. I will have nothing to say bad to say about him. He was on the Angels podcast, met him in person, made out time in spring training, even when he was rehabbing, to come and say hi and sign a ball and a picture for us. So I will always appreciate that. So now kind of moving forward a little bit after this crazy 4-game series. Now we got a quick 2-game series with Houston coming into town Monday and Tuesday. Luis Garcia and Jose Quintana are starters for Monday. Both those guys are making their season debut at Angel Stadium again Monday. I believe is a 6:30 start, but you know, we'll see what happens. Jose Quintana, another one of those guys like Alex Cobb, where you're trying to see if this was the right move for the Angels. So we'll see how that goes Monday night. And then you go then to Tuesday afternoon, 1 o'clock game. Zach Greinke, pitched already opening day. And again, with the Angels 6-man rotation, Griffin Canning will be making his major league debut. So, you know, obviously it's going to be interesting to see how the young Griffin Canning goes against a veteran, Zach Greinke. And let's be honest, the Astros have coming into town on a hot streak. They just got done sweeping the Oakland A's. And not only sweeping the Oakland A's, they got done just kind of running through them. I think I saw a stat where they outscored the A's. I think it was something like 31-9 over 4 games. So we'll see what happens. But the Astros are on a tear. But because it's early in the season, I'm still not sure if it's because the Astros are doing that good or are the A's that bad, or is it a combination of both? Was it just a bad series for the A's? I don't know. But they are definitely coming in with a ton of confidence and a ton of hot bats. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Angels lineup and bullpen deal with Houston. We should hear hopefully some news about Ohtani soon. If he doesn't play Monday, hopefully he plays Tuesday. After Tuesday, there is an off day before they hit the road. I believe they go to Toronto/Florida. Toronto Blue Jays are out in their spring training complex for the first month or so. Because of the whole COVID situation, they're not able to play up in Canada. So the Angels are going to an East Coast trip after this series. So that's the day off Wednesday. The next podcast will happen probably Tuesday night. I'm going to shoot for 7 o'clock and we'll talk about this series, the quick 2-game series against Houston. And also then too, we'll take questions, emails, questions in the comments. We'll do more of that on Tuesday night. We'll have more time, obviously, with it being a day game. With the night game tonight, you know, kind of get in, give you a recap, and then go forward from that. But again, we'll be back Tuesday night about 7 o'clock on our streaming platform. That's Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Hope that you guys can join us there. We'll take questions there. We'll take questions on our emails at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's allangelspodcast@gmail.com. I want to thank the, again, for Rake Baseball Co. The t-shirts are sent out to the trivia winners. We send them out on Friday. Hopefully they'll get them soon. They're going to post it, and then we'll repost it on our social media feed. And we're looking forward to doing more and more of that kind of stuff as the season plays out. But again, what a great series. Angels take 3 of 4 from Chicago with a walk-off, with an Ohtani just absolute blast, with, you know, great defense from Lagares and Jose Iglesias, and just, you know, great plays. Jared Walsh, you know, maybe the end of last year wasn't a fluke after all. We'll see what happens going forward, but really, really exciting things going forward. And so we'll be back Tuesday night recapping the Houston series and looking ahead a little bit to the Toronto Blue Jays series that's going to happen next weekend. So until next time, I am Dan Garcia, and this has been another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.